Hey, you guys, good morning. Welcome to Core Online. I am Russell Cushman. I'm the Family Life Pastor, and I am so pumped to be here with you on the last Sunday of Core Online. It has been amazing to have Core Online during the shutdown, during the quarantine, whatever you want to call it, to be able to connect with you guys, at least digitally, to know that we could come together and worship together, even apart, that we could come together and explore God's Word despite the separation. And it has meant a lot to me and my family. I know it's meant a lot to a lot of the families here at Core that I've got to talk to. And I just thank you for being faithful, for continuing to tune in when you could be doing 101 other things. But before I continue, before I get into this message, before I tell you about myself, I just want to say thank you to all the volunteers who put in a remarkable amount of work over the last, at this point, almost 16 weeks. People who have been here for filming in the middle of the week, people who have been behind cameras who have never been behind cameras before, people who have played live music but never had cameras in their face like that. People have really stretched out of their comfort zone. Being here at the taping each week, I kept seeing the same guys organizing cameras and just being involved in a real way when the rest of the church was in their homes waiting for this method of communication. So you guys, thank you. You did great. You did a great job. We're never going to forget the sacrifices you made to make Core Online happen. Now, let's dive right in. I'm sure you guys have noticed that 2020 has been a pretty not great year. For me personally, it started all the way in January towards the end of the month on a normal tubing trip. I had a serious health scare, ended up in the hospital, ended up on a ventilator, had serious problems with my heart. My heart was healthy, but the nerves were not. They treated it. It took about 7 days in the ICU, and it was a remarkable thing that God moved on my behalf through doctors and nurses to save my life. But then the other shoe dropped. See, during the intubation, they had nicked my right vocal cord, which is a pretty normal thing to happen, but mine didn't heal. It was paralyzed for a period of several weeks, and I couldn't really speak. Now, here's the thing. As a pastor, one of the biggest things I do is speak. So all of a sudden, I had no idea how I was going to be a good pastor to the students here, or how I was going to communicate to children, or how I could even communicate to volunteers. In fact, huge shout out to all the volunteers who came to that meeting where I sounded like some sort of weird Batman. I really appreciate you sitting through that. It was tough. And then when I finally did get my voice back, COVID hit. I had all sorts of things to say and no one to say it to. So just saying, 2020 has just been the absolute worst. But the weird thing is, as much as I could talk about my own life and the life of my family, I know 2020 has been a struggle for you too. I know that you have kids who have missed milestones. I know that even if no one ever got sick, the pandemic affected you. I know that even though you might not have lost money in the stock market, the market affected all of us. I know that weird gas prices and the world just completely being off kilter, it's affecting us. And that was before we had exposure of different corrupt systems and we had violence in the streets and riots and destruction. That was before that. It's like every month gives us something new. Apparently there was going to be murder hornets. Seriously, murder hornets. 2020 is the worst, and it seems to be the worst for all of us, which is why I can't help but wonder if Pastor Ben knew that it would be this dark in the world when he had us figure out this series 8 months ago for Hope in the Dark. See, we've learned some amazing things in this series so far, going through the book of Habakkuk. We've learned that we can have intimacy with God in the valley, that despite the darkness in our world, we can have intimacy with God, even if we might not be able to have much anything else. We learned that we can wait on God, that we can wait on God's moment instead of waiting on our moment. Those are different things, you see, because if you wait on God's moment, God's not just going to change your circumstance, he's going to change everything. He's going to change you. And we've also learned through Habakkuk just last week that we can embrace this dark season, embrace what God has for us in it, and embrace God despite the uncertainty. And that's what it is. It's uncertainty. Everything in our world, everything in our country seems so horribly uncertain. And uncertainty is my Achilles heel, you guys. I am a neurotic mess in the best of times. But in uncertainty, everything I hold dear starts to fall apart. Schedules start getting pushed and things get procrastinated and I get caught up in my own head. Friendships that I cherish get less and less of my attention. My wife gets less and less of my attention, which you guys, you know that doesn't go well. Everything that I hold dear starts to skew, and eventually I lose hope in uncertainty. It is my kryptonite. It is my biggest weakness, so much so that in every single interview I've ever had, that's my weakness answer, that I need clarity, that I do not do well in uncertainty. But here's the thing, you guys. Uncertainty is where God moves most. Uncertainty is where things start to happen. See, it's in the dark that we see progress. It's in the dark that we see solutions. It's in the dark that we can find revelation. In the dark is where things happen because we get desperate in the dark. We're suddenly willing to listen in the dark. We're suddenly willing to put away our opinions in the dark and look for a new way forward. So God, throughout Scripture, throughout history, works in uncertainty. He works in those times. It might even be his favorite environment. See, here's the thing. Our nation is filled right now with hate and division. It's filled with those corrupt systems and violent riots that we talked about. But despite all of this, God's working in our nation right now. Right now, your life is full of loss. Right now, your life might be full of certain uncertainties. We've got parents who don't even know how their kids are going to go back to school yet. I don't even have kids, and I've got hives just thinking about it. But God is working in this darkness. He is working in this uncertainty, and he wants to meet with you. So how do we meet him? How do we meet him as individuals? How do we meet him as a nation in a time that is so dark? And that's where we get to the end of this series. This is the practical end, all right? This is a practical step, and it's real simple. We have to pray. Some of you guys are already scoffing. Prayer isn't practical. Some of you are scoffing. Prayer, I've been praying this whole time, but I'm here to tell you that prayer is the way forward. Before we go forward, though, I want you to just absorb with me this scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is a great time that if you're online to check out the link just below the video for the notes page. This is a great time to get that notes page. You actually want it this week, but if not, I'll make sure that you can get everything that's important. See, today I'm going to take you all to school a little bit. There's going to be some notes that you're probably going to want to take. So just click that link now that you have time and follow along with this verse with me. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and restore their land. Hear that, all right? Keep that scripture close. When your heart's broken for your neighbor, keep that scripture close. When you're terrified for your 401k, keep that scripture close. When you're looking for God to lead you to the next step, you have to keep that scripture close. Humble yourself, pray, seek his face, and turn from your wicked ways. We could stop right there, but in that scripture is a portrait of what prayer looks like. See, the thing is, we think prayer is impractical for all the wrong reasons. See, prayer only seems impractical because our view of the purpose and effect of it. It's all about our view of the purpose and effect. We have this view of prayer that's so small, that's based on these ideas that, well, I pray before I eat, and I pray with the kids before they go to sleep, and that's prayer. But that's not what God intended. And that's not what the prophets talked about in the Old Testament, and it's not what Paul talks about in the New Testament. In fact, Paul says in Philippians, despite his turmoil, despite the fact that when he wrote it, he was on house arrest, despite the fact that between 61 and 66 AD, he's going to be executed on the Ossian Road, having never really fulfilled what he thought his life's mission would be. See, we look at Paul and we think, well, of course he had faith. Everything was working well for him. No, things did not work out well for Paul. So let's look in Philippians on what a guy who seemed to have no hope said. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." See, there in Philippians 4:6, we see a portrait of a few different types of prayer. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I told you I was going to take you to school. We're going to talk about a method of praying called the ACTS method. And it's an acronym, all right? I want you guys to see this on your screen. You're just going to get a few moments to see this chart. Once again, I hope you have a notes page. But we're going to go through these types of prayer and how they affect the purpose and effects of prayer. Just look real quickly at this chart. I'm going to pause just for a moment, run through it real quick for you guys online. You should see a chart that has adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. If you would, pause your screens, jot it down if you don't have a notes page, okay? Great, the wonders of technology. That was awesome. As we go through these types of prayer, I want you guys to hear each one and understand that there's no coincidence that all this echoes with what we've went through in this series. You're going to find a concrete way through prayer to do each part that we've talked about. Knowing God in the valley, waiting for God, and embracing your season and God in the dark. See, the first one's adoration. Adoration is all about understanding the characteristics and reminding yourself of those characteristics of God. Knowing how big God is, how holy God is, how sovereign he is. And a funny thing happens when your perspective on the character of God is correct. When that's correct, you know what happens? The world is not so scary. See, adoration, prayers of adoration, create boldness. We actually see this in the playground, and it's fascinating. Does anyone remember being told that someone else's daddy could whoop your daddy? I remember that, okay? Like, that's a real thing little kids do. They idolize their parents, their moms and their dads, and they're quick to compare moms and dads viciously on the playground. You talk about what your dad does for a living. You talk about how big your dad is and how strong your dad is. You talk about how your mom makes the best cookies, tells the best stories, has the coolest job. You talk about these things because it's this funny thing that happens even through adulthood called inherited confidence. It means that we inherit, obviously, our confidence from our parents, what they do, the example that they show. How much more true is it when we inherit our confidence from our Heavenly Father? If your view of God is that he's this big and the world is this small, you're not going to exist in fear. You're not going to do fearful things. You're going to have boldness. So when we come correct about God's character, then we don't have to worry about the world. When I look at the hate of the world, I'm discouraged. But when I look at the love of God, I know that I am safe. When I look at the injustice in the world, I'm terrified. But when I look that God is the greatest justice, that he's the arbiter, that he's the judge, I can get up each and every morning singing praises. And that's adoration. It creates boldness. Next is confession. And no one likes confession, okay? Everyone hates it. Everybody hates confession because confession's a kind of vulnerability. I've got a few friends in my life, accountability partners, where we confess what's going on in our marriages, what's going on in our lives, and that makes us better. But the reality is, as much as you need that in your prayer life. A lot of people think, hey man, I'm saved, salvation covers me, grace covers me, I don't need to worry about that. And you know what? You're partially right. But if you take your sin to God in prayer and confess it, something funny happens. And you're able to work through that sin and stop the cycle of it. You can step off the carousel, you can get away from your sin, because now you've invited God in not just to forgive, but to guide. See, what happens is you are provided transforming grace when you bring your prayers through confession to God. You don't just get over the guilt, you get over the sin entirely. And even though it's uncomfortable to bow down on your knee and pray to God and start with, hey, God, you're awesome, but I'm not, even though that's uncomfortable, to immediately diss yourself. It's the only way forward out of your sin. You have to find a way to confess your sin in prayer, as uncomfortable as it is. The next is Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving is like my favorite because it's the easiest. It's the easiest for everybody, right? See, you consciously remember what God has done and you thank Him for it. While adoration was about who God is, Thanksgiving is about what God's given me. And it's a lot easier, I think, for us to remember what we got from God than who God is. The reality is you need both, prayers of adoration and prayers of thanksgiving. But in Thanksgiving, something cool happens, all the same. As you continue to remember God's track record and how He's just killed it for you year after year, when God was there when no one else was, when the bills had to get paid and they got paid, what's happening is you are presenting this precedence of God showing up. You're remembering how God's blessed you. And what happens is now, when you have to wait on God, there's power in your patience. Power in your patience. See, a lot of people think waiting is a passive deal. Sometimes waiting is the only thing that gets you through. And you need power in your patience. You need to be able to be patient and wait on the Lord, but no. Hey, I'm not enduring a horrible situation. God just hasn't shown up yet. Hey, I'm not wasting my time in complacency or neglect or laziness. And if you are, then I got a message for you, but I can't give it to you today. You can wait on God in power when you continually have a spirit of gratitude, when you're continually praying prayers of thanksgiving. And then the last one, which is going to split into two, is supplication. See, supplication is actually split into two because you have petition, prayers for ourselves, and intercession, prayers for others. And in prayers of petition, something interesting happens. When you pray for other people, God pays quick attention. But let's go back to petition real quick. Petition's incredible because it's not what you think it is. It's not, God, I really need a new car. Provide me with a new car. That might be the first thing you say, but that's not what God has in mind. In fact, in the Greek, in Philippians 4:6, there's something really interesting towards the end of the verse. If you look here, it's present your request to God. And the translation there is a little faulty because the Greek there doesn't really say present. It actually says something closer to reveal. But that reveal isn't even right. Because it's less reveal, hey, I know what it is, let me show you, God. It's more, hey, God, how about you and me together discover what I need? That's the thing about supplication. Supplication isn't just about getting what you want. It's about defining what it is you need. God is there to change the entire program when it comes to what you asked. I use just the throw-off example of wanting a new car, but maybe God realizes you don't need a new car, you need a new job to pay for it. So guess what? Cutoffs, layoffs, they happen at the plant. And here you are, God, I said I needed a new car. I didn't say I needed unemployment. 2 weeks later, you have a new job, making a good bit more than you were. You don't even thank God for that because you're still miffed that you didn't have a new car. That's how some people sound. 3 months later, you're driving a new car, and what's happened? God answered that prayer with another. God had a path to get you from point A to point B to point C, and you're over here wondering about how you're going to drive there. See, prayers of supplication are funny because we ask for things, but we're not guaranteed our desired outcome. Prayer guarantees results, but not your desired results. See, God's going to get there. And in prayers of supplication, that's how we figure out how He's going to get there. It's not a wish list. It's a way that God can define what it is we really need. Now, I got ahead of myself earlier because I just love intercession so much. The other part of supplication is intercession. Intercession is where we pray for other people. All right? In the story of Job, I'm not going to retell the whole thing. I hope you are aware of it. But Job has lost everything. And in chapter 42, he is restored to twice of what he had. And it didn't happen when he was praying to God about everything he lost. It didn't happen during his prayers of lament. That's like the blues, if the blues were a prayer. It didn't happen during any amount of just questioning why. It happened when he prayed for his friends. See, God had actually told his friends, hey, Job's been faithful despite everything that he's lost. He's not cursed my name, but you guys don't seem to know who I am. So you go and get a sacrifice. You come back to Job, have him pray for you. And when Job prayed for his friends, pretty much just to keep from the wrath of God, Job was restored. See, the prayers we have when we pray for other people, God pays very close attention. Something that happened during social distancing is, admittedly, I felt so alone that during this time, I just needed to feel connected to my friends that I've made here. Me and Kelly are super lucky. We've been here about 18 months, and we've just got one of the best support systems. Amazing friends. You guys know who we are. And not being able to see them broke our hearts. So I decided I was going to pray for two of them every single night by name. And then I was going to go on Planning Center, it's our church software, and find two of you guys at random every week to pray for by name. And all I'd do is I'd pray about whatever I could tell about your circumstance, which is pretty much how many kids you had and the last time you were at church or whatever. So there I am praying for people I don't know and people I love dearly, and something funny happened. I felt more connected despite the social distance. I felt more connected to them because what happens when we pray for other people is it builds love in our heart for our neighbor. I loved those people already, but now I have a love for people I barely know. I'm trying to find them Sunday morning in in-person services just so I'd be like, hey, how are you doing? How are your kids? I know we've never actually met. This must be really weird. So I'm trying not to do that. But still, this period of time where I had a little extra time, praying for others changed my prayer life and kept me connected in a time where we were all very distant. I seriously recommend it. But here's the other thing. If you have opinions about people groups in our world, people on the other side of the aisle, people on the other side of the divide, I encourage you to pray for them by name. Because here's the other thing about intercession that might get mixed up or left on the cutting room floor. Every opinion we have, every conviction we have about the people of this world and those hurting in our world should be backed up by prayer. That's my challenge there. So what does all this mean? Moving away from the Acts method. It's not a coincidence, like I said, that everything matches up to what we were talking about knowing God in the valley, about waiting on God, about embracing God in our season. What does it all mean? To get to where it all means, I want to take a quick science break, super fast. Prayer changes our long-term perspective. Sounds like a scripture thing, but no, it's actually the foundings of a long-term study in the UK. What they found is that prayer changed our long-term perspective of reality. It would change our stance on humility, making us more humble, and that it would change habits, literally, physically, in our brain. And the biggest thing that blew me away is that the part of our brain that identifies with our sense of self during prayer would often flicker off during prayer. They would do brain scans of people who were going through prayer and devotion, and that is what they found. Now, here's the thing. That part of our brain doesn't flicker off very often. It's usually bright right when we're asleep. It's bright when we're in danger. It's bright when we're doing just about anything. It's literally our sense of self. It's our selfish part of being. It has not just our identity, but our desires. And the idea that when we pray, that flickers off, it meant something to these scientists. Let me tell you his exact quote. He concluded, it appeared that those in prayer were obviously connecting to something they viewed larger than themselves. Thus, they were open to whatever discoveries found in meditation and prayer. Prayer seemed to change them over time and multiple scans. See, science affirms scripture here, the scripture we've been tiptoeing around this whole time. Prayer is our path to God, and God is our path to change. See, we might have thought that prayer was nothing more than a ritual, that was something, like I said, that we did before a meal or before bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. But prayer is more than that. See, it's more than like this phone line to God. It's more than this supernatural Amazon where you hope that you have Prime and you get it in 2 days. Prayer is the means of our transformation. It's the means of finding hope. Scripture proves all of this. And it does it consistently through the Old Testament and the New. So here's what I want you to hear. Prayer is our main way of communicating to God. And one of his main ways of being heard by us. See, here's the thing. Everything we've talked about hinges on this thing, prayer. And it takes practice. It takes investment. It takes time and it takes work. But with prayer, we can find all sorts of hope, even in the dark. Let me pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the people from our church watching online and for people that I may never meet. I pray that the Acts method, I pray that our series Hope in the Dark, that the whole thing just comes together, ties up in a bow for them, and they're able to see that there's a way to survive these dark times, no, even thrive in these dark times, if they just take the time to invest in praying to you. That they learn how to pray to you as they would talk to their Father. That they learn intimacy with you in the dark through prayer. That they learn how to pray into patience. That they learn how to pray into embracing the season that they're in. Lord, again, I thank you for everyone who's made Core Online possible, this being our last week. And I just pray that whenever we're able to do this next time, it's under different circumstances. Jesus, I love you. I long to be like you. And I pray for those that are watching, be it in cars, homes, or anywhere else. Amen. You guys, we got a lot of love for you. We can't wait to see you back. And take care.